Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're coming to you from the Quicken Loans Studios in New York on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the best time of the year on PharrellOnTheBench.com. My hockey winners are notorious. I just hit all four games tonight. I'm on the verge of finishing it off with this San Jose win with a minute left. NBA playoffs, all I do is hit winners. Baseball shares every day of nothing but snag city. Daily fantasy rosters, MMA boxing. We give it all to you on PharrellOnTheBench.com. The price is right. Sign up today. You won't regret it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. All right, let's go to the phones. Paul in Baltimore, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Pharrell, what's up, brother?
It's
all good, brother. You know, I'm usually in Pittsburgh, but I'm on the road, man. But I had to get at you. Hey, listen, first of all, hey, man, you're a baller, man. You don't care about no whistle. Whistle can't beat you. You're a straight baller. I know how you roll.
You got to play right through it. Forget the refs. I get shafted by refs all the time, every game I play, because they don't like me. Because I tell them how bad they suck.
Hey, because it's all about, you know, they can't hate the player. They got to hate the game. So, you know what I mean? Hey, listen, real quick, you know, living in Pittsburgh, hey, am I nuts for telling dudes that I like Marc-Andre Fleury and those Vegas boys for winning the cup?
No, I don't think that that's crazy anymore. I mean, that's just the bottom line. They're playing fantastic hockey. They've done it all year. They humiliated Los Angeles, if you ask me, in that series. San Jose just swept Anaheim. That series is over. So I think they're playing San Jose next, Mafia. That's what you told me, Vegas and San Jose now. But
that'll be a big series.
That'll be a really big series. I'd be surprised. I'd keel over if they swept San Jose. But I think, you know, the difference for me in that series was Fleury. He's just, you know, amazing. He's done it before. He's won three Stanley Cups. He's a winner, and everyone loves him. His teammates love him. He's a great pressure player, big game player. He's been in every big game imaginable. He's 10th all time now in playoff wins. The guy has made his mark. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's just keeps getting better and better. I mean, what he's doing at 33 is insane. He went to Vegas and put that team on his shoulders. And has stood on his head and been a great goalie for them most of the year. He was out early in the season, but then eventually after the new year came back and played great hockey. He shut down the Kings. It was really phenomenal to watch him work. I've seen it before. You've seen it before. I don't know. Everybody's seen it before. Me being a Penguin fan, to see him, that's my team. So I've seen him at the highest level. And a very interested party in their performance every night. So I always watched him. I always watched every game they ever played, every playoff game they ever played, every finals game they ever played. He's just remarkable. And to me, he's the reason why they swept L.A. And he's the reason why they're moving on to the second round. And he's the best player on their team. I know Carlson and all these guys have done great things, but I think the difference for that team is him.
Hey, bro, real quick, when you going to be in the Berg again?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I always like coming back there, though, and, you know, going to Pirate games, Penguin games. If they make it back to the Stanley Cup Finals, I wouldn't mind coming in to see a game in the Stanley Cup Finals this year if they make it that far. They got a lot of work to do first, though, but I always try to get home to Pittsburgh. I love it there. Dave in Wisconsin, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Wow, what's up, man?
Hey, dude.
Shake it up.
Oh, shake it up.
Hey, man, so I'm a Bucks fan, all right? And I know they're struggling, but I want to know, what are we supposed to do about this coaching situation? That's our problem. I think we need a coach that has a ring, but I don't think any coach wants to come here.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that based on the talent that they have and the new arena that they have. I think that's a very inviting job to coach that Antetokounmpo and that team. I think it'd be a great gig for a coach. And I'm sure someone, believe it or not, someone with a bigger name is going to get that job soon. And that'll be that. So far, I got to tell you, I just think they look so flat in that series. I mean, their performance to me in Boston was sickening. I just thought it was just like they were walking, sleepwalking. I mean, they walked through the motions. They just went out and played, and it was like they knew they were going to lose. I never sensed any urgency in their play. I never sensed any determination on the boards. I never sensed any determination on going to the hole. I never saw the Greek Freak do anything, you know, crazy. I mean, he had a big night and a lot of points and everything every night. But that, you know, he's got to take over that game and win that game for them every night. He's got to be the man. And I think they have a lot of other guys, you know, that, you know, Bledsoe, Brogdon, Henson, Middleton, that have to take their games to a higher level. They're playing like they're in the regular season, and they're not playing like they're in the playoffs. And I think so far, for me, I'm surprised because I think they've been pathetic. I really do. Carmen in Massachusetts.
Hey, Pharrell, love the show as always, brother.
Thanks, man.
I know it's early in the season, but allow me to just get excited about the Red Sox because they are just kicking butts and taking names. And I'll talk around town here is that Cora, I know you got the players make the plays, and I agree with you, but that Cora is a more of a connect with these Latino players. And the example they used was Hanley Ramirez the other day took a pitch off the hand. Last year, he would have been out for 15 games. He misses one game and is right back at it. And I just think they're playing great baseball right now. And I'm enjoying it. I just want to hear what you say off the air.
Carm, I got you. Look, I think they got a bunch of guys producing, a bunch of guys hitting well, Betts and Ramirez, and J.D. Martinez has come in there tonight. I think he's 4-for-5 in that game in Anaheim. He's just lighting it up. He's got 2 runs scored and an RBI. Moreland's hitting .355. He's 2-for-3 with a run and 2 RBIs in that game. Nunez is hitting on this team. Devers is hitting. They're all, you know, I don't even think he's taken off yet. The Cuban. Look, I think that just about everyone on this team is hitting, and they're getting the pitching as well. Porcello tonight, 6 innings. He gave up 6 hits, no runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts. His ERA is beautiful. He threw 71 strikes out of 100 pitches. His ERA is 1.40 early in the season here, but still, they're getting everything, the hitting, the pitching. They're not even having to sweat out anything. They kicked the Yankees' ass. I mean, they look fantastic. There's just no denying it. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Ahmed in Cleveland, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Much appreciated. I got mad respect for you, Pharrell.
Hey, man.
I just wanted to talk about the Cavs and the Pacers. I think anybody doubting the Cavs was a little lost, and I also wanted to throw in a little Indians. But I think it's more important to just throw out the respect for Greg Popovich and his wife. I hope that everything's going okay for him, and I hope that he can recover and the Spurs can you know, do their best for Greg Popovich and what he's going through. Thank you.
Yeah, obviously, it's a tough situation for the league and for the Spurs and for their players, and obviously for Popovich to lose his wife. One can only imagine. It's just a terrible story and a bad, you know, just a bad ending to a day to hear that his wife died. It's not good, and it is what it is. She was sick for a long time, apparently. I knew nothing of her. I have no idea about anything or any details about her. I really don't. So, I mean, you got to feel bad for anyone that happens to. If you lose a spouse or your husband, your wife, whatever, that's just terrible. So nobody would wish that on anybody. I'm not a huge fan of his for the way he treats people. But then again, we only see what we see. So he may be the greatest guy in the world down in San Antonio. He may be the greatest guy in the world in that building. He may be the greatest guy in the world to his players. He may be the greatest guy in the world to everybody locally in San Antonio, and they just think the world of him. And then there's, you know, the outsiders like us that see him screaming, you know, being mean to the media, being rude and really insensitive to other people's jobs and careers and lives. And he just is nasty. I just think he's a nasty guy, and I don't like his politics. I don't like the way he treats the press. I think he's an idiot, and so I don't have anything nice to say about the guy about the way he treats people. So I told you before a million times, I'm not a fan. So I think he's a great coach that's won a bunch of championships, and he's certainly great at what he does. But I don't respect anyone that treats other people that way. I'll be honest with you. I don't do that to anyone. And I never have. And I never will. And, you know, I'm cool to everyone that I meet. I'm not a jerk to people for what they do or what job they have or what they come from or how much money they make or who they root for or anything else. Like, I mean, the way that guy sits down and talks bad and talks down to people and treats those media people like crap. I'm sick and tired of it. I've said it a million times. So I'm not a fan of his, but I will say, you know, honestly, and I mean this, I don't wish that on anyone. I don't. My mom died. I've seen a lot of my friends die. I've seen relatives die. I've seen people I know lose people. It's just it's tough in any circumstance. It's always tough. Death is not a laughing matter. It's no joke. And it's certainly sad. And I would never want anyone to lose their wife or spouse or lover or whatever. And I feel horrible for anyone that has to go through that, including him. Despite the fact that I'm not a fan of the way he treats people, I would never wish that on him or anyone. So it is what it is. It is what it is. And I feel bad for the guy. But you know, I'm sure he feels terrible, and it's got to be a horrible situation right now down there for him. I don't even know how he could carry on and coach him, let alone how bad they're playing. I wouldn't even want to coach him if I were him right now, the way they look. I mean, they look terrible in Golden State. They really did. I mean, I don't even recognize him or that team. They're not even, I mean, they're candy ass. They're pushover. They are a pushover right now, and you have to admit it. That's all there is to it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Don't forget, we put a podcast out after every show on Twitter, at Scott Pharrell. It's F-E-R-R-A-L-L. And at On the Bench CBS. Also on Facebook, / Pharrell on the Bench. And on CBSSportsRadio.com, our network website. The network also streams on that network website, CBSSportsRadio.com. And you can hear us on several fronts. The CBS Sports app, Radio.com app, Apple Music. We're on Sirius XM now, channel 206, and on the Sirius app, channel 206 on the app. So we're on everywhere, and now we're on literally everywhere else. So we've literally taken over the world. And I've mentioned many times how easy it was. Wayne in Pittsburgh, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Wayne.
Yeah.
You're on. What's up, buddy?
Hey, love the Penguins.
How about them?
Oh, they're familiar.
They look fantastic. They look
each game, though.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, they are just lighting it up. They are killing Philadelphia's goalies. I mean, just brutalizing them. I mean, they're just – there's no answer. They have no answer. They've gone to a third goalie now. It's embarrassing. They're finished.
I'm looking for a Pittsburgh-Winnipeg final.
I mean, that could very well happen. Winnipeg's a very tough team. They continue to kill it, and they're dangerous. And they keep scoring and lighting it up and playing really well. They're playing really good hockey. They're a team to be reckoned with, that's for sure.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
All right, Pat in Dallas on the ticket.
Scotty, you beautiful boy. How are you doing?
What's going on, Pat?
Hey, man. I was just asking, why with the recent news of Dez Bryant here in Dallas leaving the Cowboys, not paying for him. But my question to you is, what makes wide receivers the most arrogant human beings on the planet? And why do they think that they are the best at whatever it is that they do, as opposed to, like, say, a goalie or a quarterback? Like, we never hear about these players, these arrogant position players like expounding how much they deserve more money. And so I guess my question mostly is, who deserves to be the most arrogant player in major sports? No pitcher talks the way that wide receivers do. Why is it the wide receivers just get to be?
I think, you know, big money pitchers and number one aces on winning teams, the highest priced pitcher is usually pretty cocky. I think quarterbacks are the most important, certainly in the NFL. All they ever talk about is quarterbacks every week. That's the league's built on quarterbacks. Obviously, they throw to wide receivers, so wide receivers are as cocky as ever because they make a lot of touchdowns happen, and there's no denying that. So it is what it is. Dez Bryant at one time was, a huge game breaker and playmaker and made big things happen. And he was sensational when he was at his best. And then those numbers have dropped off drastically over the last couple of years, and he just doesn't matter anymore. And so they got rid of him. So if you're not producing, you're not putting up huge numbers, you're not getting it done, then they move on from you. It's that simple. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. April in Boise, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi.
Hey, April.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. You're on.
Yes, thank you. I like your show.
Thank you.
I'm a kind of a new listener, and I just called to get your opinion. I'm a longtime Mariners fan.
Right.
And I wanted your opinion as to why they just can't seem to get into the World Series.
I just don't think they have the talent. I mean, it's, you know, they're just not that good. I mean, you know, I think you have to have a deeper rotation, bullpen, and batting order of, you know, position players and depth. You have to be loaded, and you frankly have to spend money to get there. And I know there's always one team that, or two, that seem to make it every year and break the code and, you know, win games and get into the postseason shockingly, like last year, Minnesota. Everybody's like, how did they do it with that small payroll? But if you notice, in the end, it's always the heavyweights with the biggest payroll, the two biggest teams, the two best teams, the two most expensive payroll teams. It always comes down to money and who's got the best players and who pays the most money for them. The teams that are loaded and that win and that get there are the ones that, frankly, spend the most money. And I think that's why they're not there yet. I mean, you look at that team, and it's not like you're scared to death of them when you play them. They've been average. Garrett Cole beat them tonight, and they beat them 7-1. And you look at that team— And they got, you know, I like D. Gordon. I'm okay with that. Robbie Cano, obviously. Nelson Cruz, what he heats up, forget it. He's a big bopper. There's no doubt about it. But literally, you know, Seager, the rest of that lineup, if you ask me, is a bunch of guys that, frankly, don't matter. They just aren't superstars. They're not big names, and they're not making big money, and if you want to load up on a team, like look at that other team, the Springer, Altuve, Correa, Reddick, Gonzalez, even McCann, Gattis. They have all these guys and pitchers. It's just, you know, completely loaded, that team, and that's why they won the World Series. Talent, depth, big money, that's just all there is to it. And the Mariners, you know, they're always playing, but they've never, it seems to me, mattered that much. I mean, a few times they've been in the postseason, and they figured it out, and they've won and got there. But they're never a team that everybody's scared to death about or worried about, because I don't think they spend the coin, I could be wrong, to make them a great team.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mavi, did you see that your boy Gronk has bought a stake in the Kentucky Derby contender named Gronk?
I did. You know, just one more reason for him to possibly pound a bunch of beers and slam them down and go crazy. You know, they used to have, what was Edelman used to go there to the Kentucky Derby every year, right? Now Gronk can go there.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be welcome there. Edelman went there to score rich chicks.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't even Edelman. It was Welker that would go there, I believe, when he was with the Patriots.
I believe he went there for the same reasons. The Patriots have allegedly expressed interest in Josh Rosen ahead of the draft. There's at least 12 teams also that are interested in me, that they will draft me at age 52 to play for them. I mean, the stuff I hear every day, that this guy's going there. Today I heard that your boy Mayfield's a lock. It's just a done deal. He's going to the Jets. Done deal. And that's before they even have this draft. Like, everyone thinks they know everything. It's so funny to me.
Well, the funny thing with the Rosen thing,
nobody knows anything.
Everyone was bashing him about how he's kind of like, you know, aloof and millennial. Just you have to motivate him, all this other stuff.
Right.
Like, isn't that completely against the Bill Belichick type player? So his stock was suddenly sliding. And then the Patriots, who are, of course, not really early in the draft. I know they have 2 first-round picks, but they're not in the top 10. Are they expecting this kid to slide into the middle of the round? Or is it just maybe someone putting up a smokescreen? So everyone says, oh, wait, if Belichick's interested in him, oh, there must be something there. Let me grab him early then.
Are you suggesting that Bill Belichick smokes?
I am not. I'm suggesting someone else is putting out some BS to try to get people more interested in him early in the
round. Are you suggesting that he smokes reefer?
Not by any sort of the imagination. He's not fun enough to smoke reefer.
Even though he has been cleared in
probably
concussion protocol and seems to be tired of sitting on the bench, Joel Embiid is doubtful for the game tomorrow night against the Heat. Are the Sixers letting Embiid's past injuries make them overly cautious with him now and keeping him on the bench? Does it give the Heat the upper edge tomorrow night, Mafia, in their game in Miami?
I think it could definitely give them an edge. They're going back to Miami. They got their fans behind them, you know, if they show up before halftime. And I don't expect Dwayne Wade to have an incredible performance like he did in game 2, because at his age, with the way his body's taking abuse, you're not getting that game in and game out. You're getting that once every 2 weeks. But, you know, if they get an early lead, they attack the Sixers early and that crowd gets behind them, him not being there could change it completely.
So are you going to buy The Rock's new tequila?
I am not. It's a tequila. I don't really drink that. I'm a whiskey guy. Whiskey, bourbons, that's me.
He's got a new tequila, Mana, in tequila, the business. He's now gotten into it. He professed his love for the Mexican liquor in the past, saying when it comes to booze on cheat days, his preferred spirit is tequila.
Is there anything he's not involved with? I mean, we always talk about Magic Johnson owning L.A. Like, The Rock owns the world.
I think he's going to be the next president. Andrew Luck is taking part in workouts, a blessing for teammates. That's only taken a couple years.
Well, that's why they're so excited to see him there.
The Titans set to pick up Marcus Mariota's 5th-year option. That's not a surprise. Here's our latest Le'Veon Bell update. He's working out in Miami rather than with his teammates, the Steelers. Strahan Bradshaw and Howie Long to work Thursday night pregame for Fox. So at the end of the day, after all of their searching and all of their auditions and all of their big money plans, they stuck with the same crew that's brought them there. Fox's football crew is staying the same for Thursday Night Football. That's what that boils down to. The Braves have signed Joey Bats, Mafia, from the Blue Jays.
He's going to play third, I saw. I didn't even know he played that.
Have you seen Mike Trout's funny commercial that Kobe Bryant
I watched
produced?
All of them, actually. When I saw the story about Kobe, you know, co-writing and co-directing these commercials, I went and checked them all out. There's the Trout one, Harden made one, Skylar Diggins made one, and the fourth one was, who is that now?
I don't know.
One more. There's four of them that he was involved with.
So the Vegas Golden Knights.
Porzingis.
Oh, there you go.
He has Porzingis working with carrier pigeons.
The Vegas Golden Knights are now the Stanley Cup favorites, if you can believe it.
The co-favorites of the Predators.
There you go. Marc-Andre Fleury finished the series with a 0.65 goals against average and a 97 save percentage. He's the fifth goalie since 67-68 to win all four games of a playoff series while recording a goals against average of 0.70 or less. Very impressive. Oh, Dame Lillard, by the way, said that he is built to bounce back. We are supposed to believe that tomorrow night the Blazers will win a game against New Orleans on Bourbon Street. How about this one? The Atlanta Hawks coach Mike Budenholzer has a meeting with the Suns management and ownership, and or I guess he's been meeting with the Suns on Monday and Tuesday. And then I don't know about today. There's a sense he's going to be the Suns' next head coach. What's he leaving Atlanta and going there? Like, what's that about?
How bad is your franchise when your coach wants to leave to go and run the Suns? I mean, I know they got some good young talent there, but seriously, he's going to leave Atlanta to go to Phoenix.
Terry.
Hey, hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on.
Go ahead. All right. I just got a quick question to ask you, and then I'll jump off and get back on the radio, sir.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You're on the air now.
All right, okay, man. Oh, the Raiders, do you think that they will play the Redskins in the Super Bowl, or I call it the Gruden Bowl? I just want to know if you heard anything about it, or could it ever happen?
Well, I mean, obviously it could happen. I have no idea, but like, this is the most bizarre thing that's ever happened to me. Did that just happen to me?
Did he just ask who's going to play in the Super Bowl before we have even gotten to the draft?
We haven't even gotten to the draft, and the schedules come out Thursday night, right? The NFL schedule
tomorrow
comes out
night,
tomorrow.
Yeah, well, tonight, actually, now, yes.
But did that guy just ask me if the Raiders and Redskins are going to meet in the Super Bowl?
Yes, he did.
No.
Two teams that didn't even make the playoffs last year are going to worry about them making the Super Bowl.
Not only will they not meet in the Super Bowl, they won't either one of them be in the Super Bowl. Brady in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, well, I feel a little bit silly now. I'm going to ask about spring games, college
okay.
football.
Okay.
Two questions. The Clemson spring game, what do you think is going to happen in the quarterback race?
I haven't the foggiest idea what's going to happen in the quarterback race down in Clemson. I know this. They're always loaded. They're always good. They got great recruiting. They got a great coach. They play for national championships. I'm sure everything will be normal, and they will be kicking everyone's ass in short order. And I will say this as well. This is just me. I'm glad you're concerned. I really am. I'm rooting for you that you're the only guy I know that cares about spring football games. Like, is there anything worse than spring football? I mean, honestly, who gives a rat's ass what they do in the spring? I mean it. I could care less. Now, I'm not even being mean to you, dude. Like, do people actually care about this stuff? I mean, is it just me, Mafia? People don't care about that, do they? Spring football. Brian in Massachusetts. I'm watching Stanley Cup playoffs and NBA playoff games and baseball. Spring football, I'm like, wow, they're playing? Really? Congratulations. It must be very exciting for everyone. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Scott, I got a comment and a question. I don't fear Toronto at all. I think they're soft as baby crap, and I think that Bruins tomorrow come out. I think tomorrow will be an easy 4-5-1 win. I just think that they've got to really shut down the odd man rushes they've given up to Toronto with breakaways and stretch man passes. And I think Torrey Crew's got to pay attention and not give up a 2-on-1 to 40-year-old Patrick Marleau. My question is, when Columbus finally blows out Washington on another Washington choke, do you think the trade of Ovechkin? Thanks, Scotty.
The guy asked me if I think that when they lose – they'll trade Ovechkin. I don't think they'll trade Ovechkin, to be honest with you, because Ovechkin's been the best thing that's ever happened to that organization, to be honest with you. And I think that he's not going anywhere. That's just me. I wouldn't trade him if – I mean, he's been their entire franchise. Whether they're winning or losing, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. He's the best player they have. He's the most important player they have. And I don't see them actually getting rid of him. I guess stranger things have happened. They could trade him and, you know – obviously, I could be wrong. I just don't feel that's happening anytime soon. And I do agree with the guy. He did say that he thinks, you know, he said he thinks Toronto's soft. I don't think they're soft. I think that they're a talented team. They both play, Boston and Toronto play really well in their building. The difference is I actually think Boston plays way better than most on the road. And I'm going to give them an edge, actually, in their chance tomorrow night in Toronto. Not to say that Toronto can't win that game and even up that series, but I think Boston has a shot to win that game. No one expects them to win on the road in Toronto. That's a tough way to make a living. They've won everywhere. They're a good road team, and I think they can beat anybody on the road, and I think they have a shot tomorrow night. Eric in Cali, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, I'm a new listener. I love the show, man.
Cool, man.
Hey, check it out. I'm a big Denver fan, and no one ever talks about Case Keenum now in Denver. With Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and now with them letting go C.J. Anderson, do they make a play for Barkley now at five and what that would look like in the AFC West? I mean, I think that would look pretty good right there with Keenum, Demaryius Thomas, Sanders, and bringing in a running back and I think we can make a play.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that that guy's going to be sitting there at five or whatever. I think he'll be gone before that, to be honest with you. As far as Case goes, he actually had a great year in Minnesota and did great things, and I think he elevated his status in the league, and I think he earned some money, and I think he has some people that believe in him. Obviously, Elway's one of them. I think the Vikings obviously believed in him up until he turned into a pumpkin in the playoffs. But I don't think it was his fault that they actually got their ass beat. I think that they spent way too much time glorifying their win the week before to be ready for the title game. I thought they spent way too much time talking about the miracle to be ready for the game, to be honest with you. They got burned because I think they thought, including their fans, that once they caught that miracle touchdown pass to stay alive and move on to the title game, that they had it in the bag and that they were going to play in the Super Bowl in their own building and that it was all a done deal. And I think they got caught up in their own buzz and they got burned. So it's that simple. Mafia, really quickly, I wanted to tell you the story. The Tribeca Film Festival opened up, and there's a lot of sports movies. There's a movie about Unbanned, The Legend of the Air Jordan 1. There is a movie about Crossroads, a charter school in North Carolina where the athletes ended up as one of the best lacrosse teams ever in the state. Home and Away, a documentary about three Mexican high school students who make their way from Mexico to El Paso every day for a better life and to play soccer. That's called Home and Away. When She Runs, this is a story about a chick, Kristen, who's 20, a wife and mother who risks everything to pursue her passion of competing in the Olympic Games. This is a story about her journey. And a movie, Sidelined, about a short documentary that it's of the 78th story of a group of NFL cheerleaders who, after receiving approval from their teams, posed nude for Playboy, of all things. And finally, Mafia, I love this story about the girl. I don't know if you saw this. The girl that went over to the Caribbean and then went to Australia on a cruise ship and took millions of pictures of her partying and in bikinis and in exotic places. And then she tried to smuggle for some people upwards of 60 kilos of cocaine back to her country. She was popped, and I just wanted to say she's smoking hot, but now she's going to jail for 8 years. So I hope she had a good time on her vacation. For Mafia and Alicia, in for Carver High, I'm Pharrell. Good night, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.